Our study tonight is out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, amongst other verses. Understanding the path to great blessing in church ministry functions. Be it local church leaders or their subordinates, all who serve the Lord in their local church assignments are actually God's servants, so their ministry efforts in the local church should be formed uprightly. Now, whether you're talking about the pastor and ministers from the pulpit, whether you're talking about board members, board chairmen, whether you're talking about Sunday school leaders, people who serve the Lord in VBS, people who serve the Lord, ladies' Bible study, all are servants of the Lord. If we show up on a work day and we're involved in cleaning the church, we're servants of the Lord. And all of these are, their ministry is very important. Now, upright service to the Lord for any and every believer brings unspeakably great blessing. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 itemizes this great blessing, and accompanying passages further describe it. We hadn't looked at verse 13 because we had skipped over it, but I want to cover it. I went back and I looked at it, and I said, you know, this verse is too rich to let go, especially in view of, I think, the needs that we have as a body. The verse says this, "For they that abuse the office of a deacon or a servant," you can also translate it well, "purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Okay. We before learned in this series that the early church deacons were not the church leaders, but that they served believers' needs. They functioned under the ruling elders. So Paul's description of the blessings awaiting those who served well as deacons in 1 Timothy 3:13 applies to anyone who serves in the local church. Now, you'll remember, in verse 11, for example, I know the King's English translates it, "even so must their wives be," so forth and so forth. But the word wives is actually the word gune. It means women. And some have translated it wives, but they actually refer to women. Women in the church who serve. This woman might be a woman who is a wife of somebody, an elder or a deacon, but not necessarily. It's just a woman who serves. And we looked at that very carefully. So, this deals with anybody who serves in the local church. Well, the path to great blessing in a local church ministry service assignment is detailed for us in 1 Timothy 3:13, and it is further explained in related scripture passages. Those who serve as deacon servants in the local church, and so by application, any believer, man or woman, who serves the Lord in his or her assignment in the local church in a way that is good. This is the Greek word kalos, which means a way that is at once or immediately seen to be good by onlookers due to its immediately evident honorable qualities. These men or women acquire to their own benefit, and the voice is middle. We don't have a middle voice in English. We actually have an active voice and a passive voice. The active voice, you do the acting. The passive, it happens to you. But in Greek, they have a middle voice where you're doing the acting, but it's for your benefit. It's a beneficial voice, and that's the middle voice that is used here. Acquire to their own benefit, middle voice. And the word acquire means to acquire peripoyeo, for themselves an immediately evident good rank or standing. The word bathmos is used rank of a soldier in the military. Or this is a standing of what other people view of you. So, and this is from other believers in the church. So as a believer serves the Lord in a way that is good due to his or her obviously respectable, self-controlled, dependable behavior as seen in the qualities of deacons and women servants in the church, he or she acquires for himself or herself great respect from and influence with onlooking fellow believers. Now it's a fact that we all need achievement, we all need acceptance. There are three things I think they said that every human being needs. Every human being needs to be loved, every human being needs to be accepted, and every human being needs a sense of achievement. Those are three essential needs. It's especially important in a church that a believer be appreciated for his or her ministry. Now, a lot of times people think that the only persons who can be appreciated are the people who are speaking from the pulpit, or maybe deacons or elders or Sunday school teachers. That's not so. Any believer in the church, man or woman, any believer in the church who serves the Lord in his or her assignment in the church, if they serve with outstanding qualities, God will see to it that the rest of the church honors them and gives them a high rank. Now, I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen in churches a lot. I've seen situations develop. I'll never forget hearing about a Sunday school teacher of a junior high boys. Now, I don't know if you know what it's like to teach junior high boys in Sunday school class. It's a bit of a challenge. This was a lady in northern Michigan. Northern Michigan's way up near Canada, off in the woods. It was a small country church. And she was completely devoted to this class of boys. And through her lifetime of ministry, there were seven of those boys that ended up going to Dallas Seminary and becoming pastors. And she had a fantastic ministry because she poured her life into those boys. She prayed for them. They get the pictures and everything, put them on the wall, and she worked with those boys. She was befriended them. She showed up at their school plays, at their school functions, or ball games and whatnot. She gave herself to that ministry, and she worked very, very hard in her Sunday school class, and it ended up producing pastors. It's amazing. And each one of those men who became pastors pointed back to this Sunday school teacher. She was an outstanding school teacher. I had a great Sunday school teacher when I was in sixth grade. We came home for the United States where I was on furlough. Mrs. Lamb is her name. And I'll never forget, she made for me a picture of the praying hands. It was one of those that you press on tin foil and you make it and fill it out. And then you fill it in the back with plaster of Paris or something and made a little picture. But she handmade it for me. I never forgot it. I took it with me to Africa and it hung up on my wall. And I remembered that. And then when we came home for furlough when I was a teenager, I looked Mrs. Lamb up. She was still trucking. She was still, you know, serving the Lord, vibrant. She's now with the Lord. But she made an indelible impression on me. She taught me 1 year. I was in the sixth grade. So, and she probably had a bigger role in my becoming a pastor than what I can imagine. But she was very she talked about bounding in the Lord. We talk about abounding. She believed it was bounding. You should always be bounding in the Lord. And that's the way she was. She was, even though she was quite elderly, white-haired and everything, she was just always excited about Jesus Christ and the Lord. And she took that excitement with her into the classroom. Well, this is anybody. It could be a man. It could be a woman. If they do their ministries honorably, God will see to it that they are honored in the church. If there's a believer who feels that they need more acceptance or need to be honored and recognized, God wants to give that recognition to you. It's available to you. But serve the Lord with these upright qualities, and God will see to it that you're noticed and you're accepted and you're admired in the church. In addition, those who serve as deacon servants in the local church, or any believer who does his assigned service in the local church in a way that at once seemed to be good by onlookers, also acquires for himself much confidence, with its resulting openness, in relating to in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, when one righteously serves God in the local church, gaining no worldly rewards that the world deems important, and continues to do so willingly amid the absence of worldly recognition due to the Holy Spirit's reassuring motivation within for him to keep on serving, that very faithfulness alone signals that he ministers in a Christ-like spirit of selfless service and builds confidence that his relationship with the Lord is upright, and that makes him very confident that his relationship with God is upright, and it leaves him happy like Jesus predicted in this situation. There's a related passage that I have to look at here tonight. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. This is after the Lord Jesus Christ had washed the disciples' feet. Remember, this is the night before his trial, and then he was going to be crucified the next day. And he took a towel upon himself like a slave would, because slaves normally were the ones who washed the feet of the people when they came in. And Jesus acted as in the role as a slave, which to me is amazing. Here he is, he's the Son of God. Right now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, but before he died, he acted in the role of a servant. And verse 12, it says, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments again, and it was set down again. So you would lay aside your outer garments in order to do this slave ministry. When he was set down again, he said unto them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for that I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's a powerful statement. We also need to serve the needs of one another. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you practice them. Wow. Serving the Lord with a servant's attitude. Now also, Jesus in John chapter 14, the very next chapter in verses 21 to 23, promised that if a believer obeyed God's commands, and this applies also to one's divine ministry assignment in the local church, this could be a man, could be a woman, that person signaled that he or she truly loved the Lord, and God the Father and God the Son would respond to him, getting visibly involved in his daily life, making their affirming, blessed encouragement clear to that believer in his life experiences, and that to his great joy. Let me read that. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 21. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, or who obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will make myself manifest to him. Now Judas said unto him, this is not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep or he will obey my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What Jesus is saying here is if you do the will of the Father in a service assignment, you are demonstrating your love for God. And if you do that, God is going to enter into your daily experience in very wonderful ways, and he will disclose himself where you're at in your experience. And that will be something that will be an encouragement, because that will be God's signal that you're on the beam, you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. And also you'll get the added bonus of seeing the Lord actively involved in your daily experiences. So there is a wide open door available here. You don't have to be the pastor of the church. You don't have to be a deacon or an elder. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher even. If you get involved in serving the Lord in some capacity in the church, it could be any capacity, but if you serve with the right attitude and wholeheartedly, God will bless you by allowing you to be recognized and honored in the church, and he will also enter into your experience and demonstrate his presence in wonderful ways, and that will keep motivating you to keep serving the Lord. So if any believer, man or woman, serves the Lord in his divine calling in the local church in a respectable, self-controlled, dependable manner as God wants him to serve, and these are the qualities of service that have been described in the passage, he will acquire for himself or herself high respect from and influence with other Christians in the body, and great open confidence before his Lord that his work, though not lauded by the world's standards, is still a quality work that pleases God. And he will see the Lord express his love by entering into his daily experience to express that love in edifying ways. Christian service just doesn't get any better than that. So may we serve the Lord in our calling in the local church this way to enjoy great blessing. I want to share this with you just to edify, to encourage you. When we first started the Sunday evening service, we had agreement on the board and so forth, and we were going to encourage people. And we started off, we had a fairly good number, and then it dwindled down. And for a number of years, we would have maybe one or two or three people and so forth. And there were many times I asked the Lord, Lord, should we... have we gone about this wrong? Should we be having the evening service the way we are, or what? Should we have it? I had lots of questions about it. And what's interesting, the way the Lord answered was that What I had covered for the previous Sunday night service was exactly the message that I needed in my heart for the next week. Not necessarily what I preached in the Sunday school class or during the morning service or even prayer meeting, but the Sunday night. That went on for years. So the Lord indicated, well, Don, at least you need it, don't you? And I said, yes. So I kept preparing. So I stopped worrying about how many showed up for Sunday night, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to focus on what the Lord has for me out of this. And I didn't care. If it got down to the point where Nadine was sick and she couldn't come and I was the only one here, I was going to preach to myself because I needed it. I needed the passage. And I have noticed in the last several years on those meetings, sometimes Wednesday night might be a little trim. You know, people are sick or busy, whatever. But often that's the message that not only ministers to me, but ministers to someone else. Then we have a number of people, one of our ladies in our church, Chris Slate. Very rarely can she make it out to the Sunday evening service, even though she would like to come. But there are mitigating circumstances and she can't come. But she always drops by, and the next week when she has a ladies' Bible study, she picks up the lessons that we have. And she was talking with me and shared with me how one of the prayer meeting messages that we had, no, one of the Sunday school, and she can't be here for Sunday school because she teaches Sunday school downstairs. She picked up the Sunday school lesson and the Sunday evening message, and both of those had verses in them or comments in them that ministered to her in a dramatic way, and she couldn't even be here. And so that encouraged me to, you know, God wants us to keep on the beam for him. So I look forward now, like in the future, if the numbers get really down, I get excited because God's got something there, because that's his encouragement. And that's the way the Lord has encouraged me. And that's what God wants us to do. If we are faithful doing what God calls us to do, showing up for a work day, cleaning the church. Sometimes we have people that substitute when Dan and Judy are down at the museum cleaning the church, and we've had people testifying to that fact. God will pour out his blessings and really demonstrate himself. So if you want fulfillment in life, I would get busy doing the assignment that God has for you. Throw yourself into it. Throw your heart into it, and look what happens. God will make you happy, and God will actually give you honor from other people in the church.